The sudden departure of Office of Personnel Management Director Jeff Pahn took nearly everyone by surprise. What's not a surprise is that the Trump administration would like to break up OPM and divide its duties between the General Services Administration and the White House. So what's next? For some possible scenarios, we turn to Jeff Neal of ICF, former Homeland Security Chief Human Capital Officer. And Jeff, I guess, have you ever seen this much turmoil? I guess maybe after the great data breach, but it seems like this has really knocked OPM a little bit on its heels.
I think it has. It was, you know, it was pretty shocking, I think, for everybody in the federal HR community, because all of us knew Jeff Pahn well and know that he's a very capable guy who's got really great experience. I mean, you can make the argument that he was probably the most qualified OPM director that OPM's ever had. So it was a big surprise.
And given this idea that has been put out by the Trump administration to have the Office of Management and Budget do some of the work and have GSA do some of the work, and the clearances have been ostensibly shipped off to DOD, what do you think is going to happen next at OPM?
Well, I think the clearance work is going to continue to move to DOD. You know, the Defense Authorization Act gave DOD the authority to do their own. And so continuing to do that and then adding the rest of the agencies to it is something that I think is very doable. And frankly, I think it's a good idea. I've never thought that clearance mission belonged at OPM. It's, you know, it's not an HR policy and oversight function, so it doesn't fit there anyway. The human resources solutions work is what they're talking about moving to GSA. And that work is work that's done through what the government calls a working capital fund. So it's not appropriated money. Agencies pay for services, and then the OPM accumulates that money, and then they can continue to use it in, you know, in the following years. So it works more like a regular checking account than an appropriation where you're rushing to spend everything by September 30th. That work, I think, most likely can be moved to GSA. It's not work that is part of OPM's core mission, most of it anyway, and it's not oversight work, it's not policy work. And so most of that, I think, probably can, and my guess is will, move to GSA. And then that leaves the core mission of OPM, which is policy and oversight and the health insurance, life insurance, and retirement work that they do. And I think it's less certain what's going to happen to that. You know, the administration proposed moving the health and life insurance over to GSA, but I don't think that's a particularly good fit, because it's not really something GSA does, and it's not a fee-for-service type of operation like most of what GSA does or what Human Resources Solutions and OPM does. So I think that one's going to be kind of iffy. And then you get the core policy and oversight work, and the proposal was to move that to the Executive Office of the President. And I'm not sure where that's going to go. You know, right now the law says that there is an OPM. It was established by the Civil Service Reform Act. And so it exists in law. It has certain authorities that are delegated to it by law. And when you have something that has a legal underpinning like that, a statutory underpinning, it's very difficult to just pack it up and move it somewhere else, particularly into the Office of the President. It does make people think maybe it might politicize the civil service. I don't know if that's necessarily true. You know, procurement policy has been in OMB for years, and it's developed jointly by GSA, DOD, NASA, and OMB. And folks haven't really been arguing that, you know, it's terribly politicized the procurement process any more than it's already politicized. So I don't know if it would really politicize civil service policy.
We are speaking with Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President at ICF and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. And if you take away everything but policy, I mean, what policies does OPM really have all that much say over anyhow? Because a lot of those are embedded in statutes or sections of Title V that have been added over the decades.
They have a lot of policy responsibility. You know, they've got health insurance, they've got retirement, they've got life insurance, they've got all the policy on job classification, they have policy on pay, They have policy on the entire hiring process from start to finish. They have policy on reduction in force. They have policy on deferred retirement. I mean, you could, there are thousands of pages of OPM regulations. So they have a big policy mission. One of the problems is they've got 5,000 people and it takes them forever to get any policy work done.
Yes, I remember when they were trying to develop the phased retirement, something that seemed really simple, and it took them, I think, 2 years to come up with the regulations for that.
Yeah, it was a congressional mandate, and it was more than 2 years to get it done. And part of the problem is with 5,000 people, they don't have many people actually doing policy work. But there's so much other, you know, extraneous stuff there that it gets in the way of the policy work. Then they have some voices within OPM that are very hesitant to change anything. And so when someone says, hey, we're going to do something different, you know, there are certain quarters in OPM where the immediate response is, no, 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 we don't do different here. And so what you end up with is an under-resourced policy operation that's frequently got people telling it no. And so, you know, you would think with 5,000 people, you could move a policy document through that place very quickly, but you can't. And I think that's one of the things that's made them vulnerable to these types of proposals. You know, when Congress passes a law that says you will do X, and 2 or 3 years later, OPM is still saying, get back to you on that, it makes people angry. And it makes people wonder, you know, what is it that takes so long to get all this stuff done? The problem that the Trump administration is trying to solve is a problem that folks have recognized with OPM. I don't know if I would necessarily solve it the way they're solving it, but it is a recognized problem that they're trying to do something about.
Do you think that if OPM had been more deft around that cybersecurity breach and maybe more deft about some of these other initiatives that we've talked about, that they've been slow to get out the door, maybe they wouldn't be under so much fire, but they just seem like a bureaucracy that goes in circles sometimes. And I don't think they are. I mean, there's some great people there, but that's what it looks like.
You're right. There are some great people there, and there's some very talented people who try to do very good work, and they get their hands tied every time they're trying to do something innovative. I don't think OPM would be in the position it's in if it were a very agile organization, if it were an organization that could take a problem and respond very quickly and do something and deliver something that meets the needs of the federal agencies. And because they're not, they've left themselves vulnerable to these types of proposals. If they were doing fantastic, very quick work, people would be lining up to defend them, and not lining up to defend them because they're afraid of politicizing the civil service with this administration's proposal. They'd be defending them because they would say, these people are too valuable. They're too good at what they do to break them up, and we're not there.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. As always, appreciate your insight.
Delighted to be here.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One.